All right. Just give me a second and we'll get started. All right, let's go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you right now for each and every student here today, Lord God. We thank you right now, Lord God, that you're going to move by your spirit in this class. We just give you the praise and the glory, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father God, that as we get into your word pertaining to the church in the New Testament, that, Father God, we grow in the things of God and what you would have for us to glean from and to get the information so that we can be successful men and women and ministers of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. What we're going to be doing today is we're going to actually cover two small chapters. I think I stated last week that we were going to continue on to chapter number 10, if I'm not mistaken. But since chapter 10 is a small chapter, we're going to cover that and some high points on that, and then we're going to jump back forward to chapter 3. And it's also about a 2 or 3 page, because what we want to distinguish is what the church is not. We've been talking about the church in the New Testament. We've been talking a lot about the foundation. You know, a church is built upon a solid foundation. Anything that you do must be built upon a solid foundation. If it's not built upon that solid foundation, as we know, it will not stand. And so if you look in your books on chapter 10, it says, in building the building, the first and the most important thing that is laid is the foundation. For upon the whole structure, upon that foundation, the whole structure will either stand or it would fall. The foundation is the beginning of every structure. Then it gives a scripture in Psalms 11 and 3. It says, if the foundation be destroyed, which can the righteous, or what can the righteous do? So if there is no solid foundation, the righteous are going to fall. But we know that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So we know that the church is founded upon a solid rock in the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go down. The author talks about, under number 7, he talks about the Great Pyramid, and he uses an illustration as a Great Pyramid as being a solid foundation. And he said that if the church takes, using an example of a pyramid, he said the chief cornerstone, then he talks about the capstone. He says that Christ is the cornerstone from which the whole building takes its alignment, and it aligns two walls. So when a building is first built, as I stated a week or so ago, that first corner, once the foundation is laid, when they start on that first corner, that corner has to be completely perpendicular. It has to be completely 90 degrees, because from that corner, from that starting point, every other corner, every other part of that structure, if you don't start it right, it's not going to be completely sound. No different than the church. One of the things I stated, even though we use a lot of illustration about a building, but we're really talking about lively stones. We're really talking about individuals we are the church. So in our endeavors as Christians, as ministers, in our lives, we need to make sure that whatever we do, we're building our lives, our ministries, on a solid foundation. We need to make sure that foundation is true and is sure, and that foundation will stand up against any storm, any test, any adversity that may come against it, because that foundation is what's going to hold you up. The Bible talks about how the foundation of heaven is laid upon the foundation of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. You know, they initially started the doctrine of Christ in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. And it said that the foundation of heaven is built upon those 12 foundations. Heaven is built upon those 12 foundations. And Paul says, you know, I lay a foundation, but another man built it thereon. But he says to be careful how you built upon that foundation, how you build upon that foundation. You want to make sure that as you build, you're building nothing but Christ. You don't want to build man-made ideas. You don't want to build tradition. And we're going to talk a lot about that because we're going to be getting into denomination in chapter 3. You don't want to build, you know, self or pride. You want to make sure that everything you do is centered in and around and through Christ. You know, everything has to be line upon line, precept upon precept of what the church is all about. Amen. It says here, thus Christ is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. It talks about the capstone, and I wanted to talk about that. It talks about the chief cornerstone, and then it also talks about the capstone, or which is the final stone. You know, Christ is not only the first stone that needs to be laid in our lives or in our foundation spiritually, but he should be the one also that caps it off. The Bible said that he's the Alpha and the Omega. So we want to make sure that alignment is right. It says here that Christ is the cornerstone for which the whole building gets its alignment. It is aligned with two walls. The stone is the corner of the foundation. Now, that's so very important. The stone of the corner is the foundational stone. Christ is that foundational stone. And once that foundational stone is laid properly, you can build upon it. A lot of times people in ministry start out, and because certain aspects of their spiritual lives haven't been through the fire, haven't been tested, haven't been shored up properly, they'll find things happening that's going to hinder them. You know, one of the things I've learned in ministry is don't be too hasty about stepping out there. About, you know, it's so very important to sit, to listen, and to learn, to grow. You know, a lot of times people, they're full of a lot of zeal. They're full of a lot of zealousness to want to go out and do the work of God, you know. But it's so very important that you watch and see how it's done. One of the things I don't regret, I was a charter member in the School of Ministry some 21, almost 22 years ago now. There was a lot of people who went out ahead of me, you know. And one of the things I begin to notice is mistakes or wrong turns or missteps people would make because they went out too hasty. They didn't get proper direction. And at the time, we were still in the infancy stages of starting apostolic structure, apostolic government. So, you know, everybody wanted to go out and establish a work. But one of the things I've learned, you know, if you're not sent out properly, you're going to go and you're not going to go with all your equipment. You know, I have a son who's in college and a daughter who's finished and she's, you know, on her own. One of the things when you send your children off to school or to any endeavor, you want to make sure that they're well prepared. You want to make sure that they have all the tools they need to be successful in life. Well, in ministry, it's really no different. You need all the tools to be successful, you know. And a lot of times that only comes by sitting, listening, and learning and growing. You know, Jesus spent 30 years plus sitting down and just, you know, observing, and he only had 3.5 years worth of ministry. But it was those times of him learning and growing that prepared him for those 3.5 years of ministry. You know, Elijah stayed years with Elisha the prophet. You know, he didn't leave his man of God. He stayed and see, all that while, that's building a foundation, because you're watching an example before you. We have an example in the apostle here at Word of Life Christian Center, and we have an awesome example. Don't take that for granted. Don't take it for granted. Every time he gets before you, he's putting forth the words of life. You know, God is using him supernaturally. We're breaking barriers, and we're seeing you know, a movement birth before our eyes. We're seeing Church Unusual manifest itself every day. You know, this past Sunday, the service was just so incredible because, I mean, it started like no other service I've seen before. You know, where the apostle just started calling out people that the Lord put up on his heart and says, I'm going to groom you, you know, young men and young women, families, and I need somebody who I know who going to commit to this thing. You know, that's what God is looking for, committed vessels, you know, meet for the master's use, you know, and it's a blessing to be a part of such an end time movement of God. You know, we could be any place else, you know, gentlemen and young ladies, we can be any place else, but God chose in his sovereign wisdom to place us right here, you know, and even, you know, students on the internet, God has chosen for you to be a part of something that's on the cutting edge. You know, it's on the cutting edge. You know, don't take what you see and what takes place for granted, because it's going to help fortify your life, fortify your ministry, you know, and it's going to keep you from having to take missteps, you know, or to become shipwrecked and go in directions that you don't need to go. I'll never forget, and I'll say this and I'll move on. In the early years, I would follow the apostle. He would go to Atlanta. He would go to Chicago. And wherever there was a meeting that he was being a part of, I would try to make those meetings as best as possible. And I know you've probably heard him say several times, you know, it came to a point where the Lord told him, you know, to stop going into the big arenas, you know, with other ministers. Well, at that time, he never made those statements public. And so I know he's going to be at this next big meeting. So I made my plans to go. And I went there, and the apostle wasn't there. And so I did that about one or two times. And what I found out was, what was happening to me is, the apostle had made a turn, but I was still going straight. And it took me a little while to turn around and recognize what was happening. You know, God, you know, the season for what he was doing was over. You know, but because I wasn't following close enough, I kept going straight when he turned left, you know, and it affected me, and it affected, you know, my ministry for a while, as far as, you know, Lord, what's going on? You know, why things are not happening? Well, my man of God had took a turn, you know, he God was grooming him for something else, but I was still looking in one direction, and he had turned and went another direction. So I had to back up and punt and get back, you know, get back in the saddle and say, okay, you know, I actually went to him, because I went to a meeting and he wasn't there, and what was shared was, and that was really, I was so prophetic, they were talking about spiritual fathers and how once you find your spiritual father, you don't want to let go. You know, you want to stick with that man of God, that woman of God, whoever that person is. You know, that's the person that's going to speak life into you. And I'm sitting on the front row here in Atlanta, Georgia, at a meeting that my apostle wasn't at. You know, but, you know, several months ago he was at the meeting. So, but I was being scolded because of the fact that I really needed to be back with my man of God. I needed to be where he was, you know. And so immediately when I got back to Louisiana, I called him up and I set up a meeting, and I said, no, Pastor, I just want to submit to you as my man of God and as my spiritual father, and I recognize that you made a turn and I kind of had drifted, but I'm back on course, you know, and I know this is what God has called me. One thing about God, if God calls you to a place, God don't make mistakes, you know. And a lot of times people, because things may not be going right, they kind of feel like, you know, well, Lord, I'm off track. Something ain't right. You know, you're just going through a season, you know, and it's through those seasons or through those rough times where you actually are growing, where you feel like there's no productivity. But you see, our growing is not so much outwardly, but it's inwardly. You know, you're learning patience. You're learning fortitude. You're learning how to not be so hasty, you know, how to allow God to speak to you and hear his voice so that you know it clearly and distinctly. You know, I can remember several years ago, and I've shared this. I was at on my job, I was doing a presentation, and they was, I mean, principles I had learned through my man of God, through coming to the services, I applied them on this presentation. And so, I mean, I had the CEO and the presidents and all the managers, everybody was just so elated. And at the end of the presentation, then one guy came up to me and offered me a job in sales, and I was all excited about it. And so as I was going back to my rental car with my props, you know, I'm saying, man, somebody finally, you know, discovered my abilities and my, you know, my work. And then the Spirit of God spoke to me, says, this man was going to, he wanted me to go to Kansas. He said, I did not call you to Kansas. That was, God spoke to my heart so clearly. And so I had to take an about face. I said, okay, well, I guess I'm not going, you know, because several years prior to that, the Lord spoke to me in the service at Word of Life, you know, my third or fourth time at the church, and said, this is where you need to be. Simple and plain. I turned around. I thought the person behind me was speaking to me. He said, this is where you need to be. And I knew then that that was God. And like I said, you know, God don't make mistakes. You know, the devil will try to sway you and turn you another way. You know, and you got to be, what was the last thing God told you? You know, if things aren't going well with you, or you feel like you're not making progress, go back and start doing the last thing God told you to do. Because what you're doing, you got ahead of God, and you're doing something in your own ability and in your own strength. You need to take an about face and say, okay, Lord, you called me to serve as an usher or as a greeter, or to work on the praise team, or the media team, you know, or prison ministry, or whatever it was. Go back and pick up your assignment, because you're not going to advance any further until you pick up that assignment that you left because you thought it was time for you to move on, and God didn't tell you to move on. You know, your man of God will know there's going to be a confirmation. I don't know why I'm sticking on this area for such a lengthy time, but that's important, because I've seen people just, you know, shipwreck themselves because they went ahead of God, and they didn't. I'll share this too. One of the things that I had to really get to grip with was the fact that in the earlier years, when Word of Life was a local church, you know, we had more access to our man of God every Sunday, every Wednesday. You know, prayer meetings. We used to have prayer meetings on Saturday. So we were sometimes, he would take some of the church members out to lunch, or we would be at a camp meeting. I remember spending time with lunch and doing things with him. Personal, me and other young ministers. So we had but one thing the Lord showed me, says, you know, he called him to the local body and to the larger body. He said, it's not going to be conflicting calls, you know. So I had to recognize that there was a higher call in there, and he wasn't just called to the local body. And so there were going to be times where the Lord was going to be branching him out. And I couldn't get envious of the fact that, you know, other ministers from other parts of the country and the world were going to be hooking up to this ministry. You know, because for a while it's kind of like, you know, Pastor, you forgot about us. But he never did. He was just fulfilling his assignment. You know, we needed to grow up and recognize that, hey, that we are still a vital, integral part of that assignment. But he needs to be able to trust us when he's out, so that the work of the ministry here can continue. You know, and so the Lord began to show me. He said, you know, your assignment is here at Word of Life to undergird, to do whatever it takes, you know, whatever you ask to do, just, you know, to be a blessing here, you know, because as the ministry expands, God's going to need, you know, your man of God is going to need people that he can depend upon and trust. And we see that happening now, you know. But if you get discouraged and think, well, you know, I'm being left out, but then the enemy and sometimes even self will come in and cause you to take missteps or to get discouraged and not fulfill your assignment. All right, I'm finished with that. let's see. On the next page, on page 48, one thing I want to point out. It says, it's talking about, matter of fact, let's go right now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's some things I want to read there that's going to coincide actually with the next chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 1. And while you turn in there, I'm going to read from the book. It says, I lay the foundations and others can come, and other foundations can no man lay that which is laid, which is Christ. All involved in his person, in the fact, all he is, all he said, and all he did. The church is not built on the personalities of apostles and prophets, but on Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, and all he said. I'm going to read that again. It says here that the church is not built on the personalities. That's people's individual personalities and their characters and their who they are. It's not built on the on their personalities, but it's built upon Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, and all he said. You know, when you think about it, who he is, he's the Son of the living God. You know, he died on the cross for our sins. You know, everything that he has done, you know, he went about healing the sick, you know, casting out devils, you know, doing, you know, Matthew chapter 16, laying hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, and he was our example, you know, and everything he has said, you know, the seed principle, you know, faith, you know, righteousness, faith towards God. All of these things is what the church and what, you know, needs to center on. The doctrines, the fundamental doctrines of Christ. You know, that's who he is, you know, and that's what we need to be keyed in upon. We can't get bogged down in carnality, in, well, let me just read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unspiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hinder to you were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, ye are yet carnal and walk as men." One translation says you walk as mere men, you know, or mortal men and not spiritual men, but you know, carnal men. For while one said, "I'm of Paul," another says, "I'm of Apollos," ye are ye yet not carnal? For then is for who is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye all believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. He says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So then, neither is he that planted anything, or neither he that watered, but he that giveth the increase. Now he that planted and he that watered are one, and every man shall receive their own reward according to their labors." And it goes on and on. But here we see, you know, people bickering about, you know, "I'm of this person," or I'm from this camp. You know, in a large degree, that's how a lot of denominations started. You know, people, they didn't agree, or they... You see, when you don't have apostolic structure and you don't have somebody to keep the church and to keep the body of Christ in the right perspective, you know, it's so easy to get off. I can remember years ago in the early 70s, late 70s, early 80s, there was a big debate on whether or not you should be baptized in Jesus' name or being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, and there was a division because they would say, "Well, you're not really saved." You know, baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. It's an outward expression of an inward grace. You know, and whether or not you're baptized in Jesus' name or in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as long as you show a public display of your faith as going down into a water grave and coming up as in the newness of life in Christ Jesus, it's showing that you have professed Christ to the world or to the church at large that you are part of, you know. But there were a lot of little small, you know, if you didn't speak in other tongues, well, you weren't saved. The Bible doesn't say that. And so what happens is when you have these doctrinal debates and then you have splits, and divisions. You know, basically what they were saying here, you know, one says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of this doctrine or this truth. And you see, we're about to go in chapter 3 now, because actually I'm already in there from what I'm about to say. What ends up happening is, you know, a movement, and God will begin to do something new in the earth realm. And you're going to have those that's going to go with it and those that's going to kind of fall back because it is unfamiliar to them. And generally those who catch hold onto it, they'll ride that wave. You remember last year we talked about the waves of revival, you know, and over a period of time, you know, whether it's a healing movement, whether it's a Holy Ghost movement, whether it's a charismatic movement, eventually, you know, God's going to begin to a new truth is going to come on the horizon. I like what one minister says, kind of keeping me abreast of my time here because I'm trying to, I see it's 8:06, I'm good. There are times where the Spirit of God is going to be moving in a certain direction. And if you're not careful, you'll get left behind because you're hanging on to the doctrine or the truth, which is good. I like the illustration of the church or God's revelation as being a whole pie. And there are various slices to that pie. And God is restoring and putting all the pieces back into place. You know, the governmental order, you know, the apostolic, you know, mantle and mandate on ministry. You know, there was healing, there was restoration, there was, faith towards God. All of these things, you know, over the years were various pieces that God is putting back. All of it is important, but you can't park in any one area and make a doctrine or make a denomination out of any one particular area, because all of it is vital. You got people who are resisting the prosperity message, but, you know, the Bible, we know that the Word of God says that, you know, God called us to be prosperous so that we can take the gospel to the ends of the world. You know, salvation is free, but it costs and it takes money to spread that gospel. And if we don't have the resources we need, we're going to be limited in our ability to spread this gospel. And there are people that you won't be able to reach until they see us walking in our total restoration. You know, spirit, soul, and body, walking in prosperity, walking in all the goodness of God. You know, if they already have worldly money, we can't impress them. But when they see us living a godly life and also having all the blessings of God upon our life in a financial way, then they'll stop and start to say, something is going on here. You know, I remember my dad, before he went on to be with the Lord, one of the things he shared with me, he said, something is happening here. He said he only came two or three times, but he said I see prosperity on the people. He says I see, you know just looking at the countenance of the people, I see God is doing something. I've been in the Baptist churches, and what I see here I haven't seen there before. You know, I see something that I haven't seen before. And a lot of times people may not understand it, but they know God is working, God is moving. All right, let's move on to chapter 3. The word church is a word which has lost a lot of meaning, you know, because in the early days, people were kind of looking at a church as being, well, the church initially we knew as the body of Christ, the believers, and they went from house to house, from place to place, and they had prayer meetings or they had Bible studies. But over time, when they started to build and erect structures or temples or buildings, people began to look at the church as being, I'm going to church, or I'm a part of this church or that church, and not recognizing or realizing that we are the church, the whole body here at Word of Life. We are the church, and not just a building. You know, we got to get out of the idea of the church as being a building, but the church as being the body of Christ. It says that it is these false concepts of the church which has to be rooted out, torn down, plucked up, and destroyed before the true reality can be built and planted. And that's going back to, remember, for our introduction, Jeremiah talked about, you know, the two stages, the plucking up, the destroying, the tearing down, and the building up and the planting. So right now, a lot of the traditions have been torn down, and now we're in the process of building up and restoring God's truth back to the body of Christ. All right, let's move on. Let's see what I want to touch on here. It says, I guess middleways in on page 9, it says, when God, and this is talking about the veil of the temple. It says, when God rent the veil of the temple at Jerusalem at the death of Jesus, he forever finished, he was forever finished with material tabernacles, or temples, and material dwelling places where his spirit and his presence had been manifested in the Old Testament times. The true temple is the church made up of lively stones or living stones or people. The building is simply a place where the church meets. The church is a spiritual house, a spiritual temple, a spiritual building. Thus, we do not go to church, but the church meets together in the building. You know, a sheepfold. We are the church. And so it's so very important to understand that God no longer dwells in earth-made temples. You are the church. Matter of fact, we were in 1 Corinthians 3. When you go down to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You know, after they went through all their carnal acts and he began to talk about the foundation, Paul says that, you know, I'm a wise master builder in verse 10. You know, I laid a foundation and other people built upon, because he was trying to get the carnality out of and out of, you know, people looking at individuals or looking at this doctrine or that doctrine or what this man preached or what that man preached. And that's why it's so important to have apostolic order. So that, you know, the structure and the government and the doctrines are correct. Because if the doctrines are wrong, well, what's going to happen is you have some foundational issues. And eventually, over time, that's going to cause a collapse. That's going to cause a decay. That's going to cause a stagnation or falling away. You know, any building that's built, the foundation is laid properly. And as they go up from level to level, to floor, that building is held together solidly. And it's so important that those foundations are laid properly. Okay, it says here that the church is not a denomination. That's under the B part. It says, nor is it an organization or a sect. You know, so we can't see the church as being a denomination. And then it talks about, it says, the many and multitudes of churches which with their multiple names all claim to be the Lord's church are not necessarily his church. Church, Christ said he would build his church, not a variety of churches by name, church names today. Denominationalism is contrary to scriptures. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about, you know, this denomination or that denomination. But all it talks about is the church that Jesus said he was going to build. And it may emphasize that being the church at Corinth or the church at Ephesus, but they were all a unified body of believers. They were all under apostolic order. They all had an apostle over those churches to oversee and to make sure that the doctrine stayed sound and the doctrine stayed accurate, so that they would all, you know, be of one mind. You remember all those scriptures talk about being of one mind and of one spirit, you know, in one accord. And what happens when they were in one mind and one spirit and in one accord? We begin to see that the Spirit of God began to move, and God showed up. You see, what we want is we want a demonstration of God's goodness in our midst. See, God is not the author of confusion. You know, he's not going to show up when everybody want to have their own agenda, you know, or want it their way. It's not Burger King. No, this is we're the Lord's house. This is God's business. So it's got to be his way. It's got to be the way he wants it. And when we all flow together as one, as a symphony, then we can begin to see God's manifestation of his power and his glory. And that's when people's needs begin to be met. That's when healings take place, deliverances are taking place, and we begin to see the manifestation. Because what we want is to see the manifested presence of God in our midst. As we stated earlier in the Old Testament, God dwelt in earthen vessels. He dwelt in temples, and only the high priest could go into those temples. But now God is living on the inside of each and every one of us. But as we flow together as one man, unified under an apostolic order, under government. Now God is able to do and work through us as a body as he desires to do so. So, that's something that we have to get to that point. There's no other way around that. That's very important. If you look on page 10, it says denominationalism is contrary to scriptures. The very fact that today there is so much ecumenical going on is self-indicting to this divided Christian. In other words, it's just there's a church on every corner. There's people always wonder, why is there a first church? And sometimes I even see where there's a second church. It's because somebody in the first church didn't agree with what the person did, so they went off and started another church. And they took certain aspects of that doctrine that was good, but then they took some other stuff. And so what happens is you got a messed up foundation, because you got some, it's not rightly divided. We'll read this. We got a few more minutes. I want to go down and read this section here. It says, thus, denominations are usually formed by a revival of restoration of truth in which God opens eyes to see. The people who gather to this truth see eye to eye with the fresh revival are called out, and some existing systems or groups to which they belong. The result is in due time another denomination is formed. Truth after truth has been restored since the time of Reformation, with invariably rejection by some and acceptance by others, which results in further division. Going back to 1 Corinthians 3, what talks about, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, division. Say you're yet carnal because, you bring in division in. The one who came out of the following restored truth was forced to come out, start another denomination of their own, and in order to maintain and uphold that particular aspect of the truth that was restored. And instead of the truths that are being restored, everybody accept it and move on. A lot of times people want to stay with an old truth and hang on to that, but God is moving on. The revelation of God is progressive. One of the things I never forget, Lester Summerall said, he says, I always want to be where the Spirit of God is being poured out, where fresh revelation is. I don't want to stay in areas where there's stagnation, we received that, but God is always moving. He's always moving. There's always more. You've heard the apostles say that. There's always more. We got to continue to press forward to new heights and to new adventures in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's go down where it says revivals usually begin in the glory of God and deteriorate to the glory of the denomination or a personality. It goes from the man to the movement to the monument. Having begun in the Spirit, they end up in the flesh. When the Spirit leaves, when the Spirit leaves or moves on, then man takes over, forms denominational statements, articles of faith, institutionalizing creeds, regulations. They form bylaws, and basically they form a denomination. Well, and that was never God's intent. It was never his intent for denominations to be formed, but it was his intent that apostolic order. This is why God is restoring the office of the apostle and the prophets, and the fivefold ministry gifts are beginning to flourish in these last days, so that people will know how to flow and how to walk in their God-given identities, and that truth and God's word can come forth, and even more so that the anointing of God could begin to manifest itself in our midst. Amen. Continue to read on in chapters. We're going to talk about what the church is not and what the church is, and then we're going to move on to chapter 11, which talks about the book of Acts, and we're going to begin to get into the actual acts of the apostles, or the acts of the Holy Ghost through the hands of the apostles, and we're going to begin to see how the church began to evolve over the years. Amen? All right, you guys be blessed. Again? Okay, already? Wow, praise. I'm glad you said it. It seemed like we just had an exam. You know, okay. Well, if that's the case, go ahead. The last, I think it should have been, three quizzes we had. Go ahead and study your quizzes. Your tests are going to come directly from your quizzes. You know, so if you got the quizzes, you got the tests, and just study those and study, you know, go back and look at the videos or your notes. I looked at the last test. Everybody did extremely well. We had a few people that didn't do so well, but like I said, you know, hang on to your quizzes. You can't go wrong if you hang on to your quizzes and study your quizzes. Amen? Amen. All right. You be blessed.